Let's go ahead and tell a story. And the story you tell them is why it maybe makes sense and why it doesn't make sense. And you simply tell them, Ron, this may not make sense for you, but let me tell you why for some of my clients it's made sense for them. And when people have told me no, why it didn't make sense for them, we'll set up what those criteria are. Okay, Ron? Well, let's talk about why it doesn't make sense. If we're talking about long-term care, what are the parameters when it doesn't make sense?
I never need it.
What do you mean never need it?
May never need it.
Okay. So the way I would set that up, Joe, in a meeting is sometimes when I'm meeting with somebody about long-term care, their perception is they're never going to need it. That's why they don't buy it. In their mind is they're never going to need it. They're going to be healthy, and then they're going to drop dead. Okay? What's another one?
Premiums will be lost if never needed.
Okay? It's a bad investment. So the way I would paint this scenario is, Ron, another reason people don't want to do this or they think they shouldn't do it is they think it's a bad investment. Can I ask you a question, Ron?
Sure.
How long have you had this home here that you're living in?
20 years.
And how many of those years have you gone without homeowners?
No years?
Why is that?
Because it's got to be protected.
Why?
Something might happen.
20 years?
Yes, possible.
It's still here.
Well, that was just luck of the draw.
Who are you insured with?
State Farm.
When they sent you premiums back at the end of 20 years because you haven't collected any claims, I bet you were happy.
They didn't send me a premium back.
What? Ours works the same way. Disability is the same problem.
Right.
Why else?
What's some other reason why people
might have too much money? I mean, one might be worth $1.5 million, but I don't really need it because...
Another reason, Joe, this may not make sense for you is you are financially independent. In other words, your assets are large enough where they're not going to run dry. So, I don't know if you fit in this category or not, but you might. And that's why I want to identify this for you. All right? What else?
Not enough assets or income to pay the premium.
The converse of that is no dough. But don't write it down this way. In your presentation, do it this way. Just write down cost. Cost too much. And this is where I would put my sales hat on for just a second, and I would say it this way. I'd say, listen, Joe, this one comes up a lot. Okay? Cost too much. If you'll forgive me, this is the only time I want to sound like a salesperson. Can I do that for just 30 seconds? If you can't afford to do this, then how will you afford to do the other one you needed? And I can't answer that question for you, but that's the end of my sales pitch. So I understand cost is an important factor, but if money's important here and paying a premium, then how important is money going to be for you when you got to pay long-term care costs, $60,000 a year? End of my sales pitch. And that's exactly the way I'd set it up.
I mean, no hurry. Great shape now.
Is that in here or no?
Never. That's someone who hasn't ever come to grips with it. Could have. No hurry because we're both 65 and we haven't seen a doctor in 20 years. And
gotcha.
Those are the only objections you get in that market.
Okay.
And the last thing that comes up, Joe, as to why people decide not to do this, is it's not that they decide not to do it, it's just they're not in any hurry to do it now. Why do you suppose that is?
They're not facing up to the risk. They're not facing up to that possibility.
It's interesting. It's not that they decide they don't need to do this. They're just not in any hurry to do it. Why do you suppose they're not in a hurry?
They're really kind of comfort. They're comfortable.
Yeah, they're comfortable. They're healthy. They haven't seen a doctor. When's the last time you saw a doctor?
I see mine every 6 months.
I mean, when's the last time you saw them because you weren't feeling good?
6 years ago.
Been forever, right? Right. And so you'd fall into this category, right? There's another one I need to add to the list, okay? And if any ones that you want to add to the list, Mr. Prospect, that's fine, but there's one more I got to add to the list. It's more of an observation than feedback I get from my prospects and from my clients, and that is dealing with obligation. See, this is where you're going to try and reach in and grab them by the heart a little bit. You know, it's just a sense of that they've built their net worth, they've built their assets, and if they have to use them throughout the rest of their lives, that's fine. And there really isn't any strong feeling of obligation to pass any of that on to the heirs. And that's okay. But sometimes when people decide not to buy, that's one of the deals. There just isn't any sense of obligation to other family members. Quite frankly, they don't care if they become a financial burden to somebody else. What message are you sending when you say that to them? Quite frankly, they don't care if they become a financial.
You don't care.
Yeah. Again, that's what I'm hearing. Why you shouldn't do this. And you can come up with the same bullet things as to why not to do estate planning, why you shouldn't do living trust, why you shouldn't do long-term chiropractic health care. Same sort of deal. Now, let's talk about the reasons why maybe people do this. Like, why do people do it?
They've had a relative who's had to have long-term care. You know, family members.
They've had an experience with someone close to them that's going through that. They're living it. They're seeing it. They've got brothers. They've got aunts. They've got uncles. They've got moms. They've got dads. And because, and see, this is where you can kind of tap in, Joe, to their knowledge. You can say to them, Joe, and because they have an opportunity to really read up on the subject and understand what's going on, now give me a stat as to how many people need long-term care prior to death.
43%.
Okay. Because of the reading they've done, just plug into it. They know that 43% of the population is going to need some sort of long-term care prior to death. They also know that aside from the minefields, the accidents that happen in life, 100% of the people will become ill prior to dying. That's going to happen. And because they know those things happen, they decide to buy. Now, I can't convince you that that's important to you. All I'm telling you, if this is important to you, that's the reason why you ought to do this. You can do the same thing in estate planning. Okay. What would be another reason to do this?
I think the cost versus the benefits makes sense based on their income and assets. I mean, it's a good investment to protect assets.
Okay.
It's like a guy that has a $5 million net worth, still pays his mortgage, you know, his homeowner's insurance.
Right.
It's a good investment.
Okay. Okay, so you can use that example. You can say something like, well, if you still had a mortgage on this house, Joe, what would your mortgage be on this house?
$250,000.
Okay, how much would you invest every year to protect this asset?
Much as it took.
Well, you wouldn't pay $250,000 to protect a $250,000 asset. How much would you protect?
Well, it costs about $400 a year.
Okay, people look at this the same way. Okay, now it's not $400 a year, but they're taking a look at an investment that's maybe a $700,000 investment that they've grown and accumulated over the years, and they want to protect that asset against losses due to poor health. They see investing $4,000 a year is a good way to protect a $700,000 asset. You may not see it that way, but a lot of people do.
Okay.
So you keep letting them off the hook. You may not see it that way, but you've asked me to highlight some reasons why you might do this. If you fit into this category, then that's why you would do this. What else?
Already not in perfect health. Kind of had a brush with mortality.
Brush with morbidity. Okay, so up here, they experience somebody else doing it. Here, they've had a close encounter of the wrong kind. They've had a brush with morbidity. And they dodged the bullet that time, but they know that it's a six shooter pointing at them. You probably have not been in that situation. And chances are they're going to say, oh yeah, I remember. I don't know how much further we need to go on this thing, but then somewhere in here, I'm going to tug at their heartstrings again and say, interestingly enough, probably one of the most important reasons, Ron, is that they have a strong sense of obligation. They have a strong sense of obligation. And interesting that they have a strong sense of character and responsibility to the people that they love and care about. And that they don't want to become a financial burden to them if, in fact, the years come where they become an emotional and physical burden. They want to relieve those people of any financial burden, so they have a strong sense of obligation. So, Joe, listen. And I'm going to get real close. I'm going to close the proximity. I'm going to be looking at the board with you. I don't know which side of the ledger you fall on. But you asked me to give you some reasons why you should do this. All I can do is tell you what people tell me, because I always ask them. When they decide to buy from me, I ask them, why did you decide to do this? Here are the answers. And if people decide not to do this, here are the answers. Joe, Which side of the ledger do you fall on? Another way I used to close this thing with disability insurance, I would ask them, if I left your house here, Joe, and Norma Rashid showed up and was interviewing people in this neighborhood about why they bought long-term care. Now, I'm not saying that you would do this, but if you were going to buy long-term care, why would you do it? And you get them to identify all the reasons why they would do it. It would be something similar to this.